good morning. Can you believe that it's September already? You know, according to the American school system, the new school year starts in September, right? In Japan, it starts in April. But in America, it starts in September. And Kansai Christian School, they follow the American school calendar, which means they're all starting a new school year tomorrow. So from tomorrow, Luke's going to be in fifth grade, and Altus will be starting his last year of high school. So we wish both of them just the best of luck, and may God bless them as they start their new school year. Well, not only are we starting a new school year, but today we're starting a new message series. We're calling it Rethinking Church, Exploring God's Heart for the Church. And over the next few months, we want to take a fresh look at the Word of God. We want to try to discover God's heart for us as a church family. You know, according to the Bible, who does God want us to be? According to the Bible, what does God want us to do? According to the Bible, how does God want us to gather together as a church family each week? You know, in this series, I really believe that we are going to go on a journey. And that's kind of what the English title suggests, right? That this exploring God's heart for the church. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go exploring. We're going to go on a journey, right? When you go exploring, you don't always know where you're going to end up, right? You're going someplace new, someplace different, and that's kind of what makes it so fun. But in this series, we're going on a journey. And it will be a journey of discovering, I hope, what it really means to be the church. And it'll be a journey of discovering what it really means to be the body of Christ in a way that accurately reflects the heart of God, the will of God, and the purpose of God. Well, in order to really kind of understand why we're doing this series, I need to bring you back to September of last year. So September 2010. You know, as we started, it was then that we started our series on kingdom culture. Right. And when we started the series, I shared with you about this growing hunger in my own heart. I was hungry to experience the authentic Christian life, not the kind of man-made version of Christianity that I had been taught to live for the first 20-something years of my walk with Jesus. But I wanted to discover the Christian life as God, I think, intended it to be. Right. I told you back then I was hungry to go deeper in relationship with Jesus. I was hungry to encounter God more. I was hungry to know more of His presence and more of His power in my life. And I was hungry for all of us to experience these things together when we gathered in this place. And that was the motivation for our Kingdom Culture series. Right, because we are hungry to go deeper with God. We don't want to live according to human thinking or worldly values. Instead, our desire, our heart, our passion is to live according to the thinking and the values and the priorities and the paradigms and the culture of God. So my original plan for the Kingdom Culture series was this. This was my original plan. This shows you how good my planning is or isn't, as the case may be. I was planning to do about 5 kind of general messages on the characteristics of kingdom culture. You know, just look at some of the basic, this is what kingdom culture looks like. So I was going to do about 5 messages, and then after those 5 messages, I was going to spend most of the series talking specifically about the church. And just kind of what church looks like in the kingdom of God and how we're supposed to do church and all these church things. And actually during the first message of the series, I mentioned how I believe that God was going to give us fresh ideas and new paradigms and creative ways for gathering together each week. I thought God was going to cause us to rethink church so that He could lead us into a new season here at SIBC. And I think the result then would be that we would know God more and walk deeper in relationship with Him. And that's what I shared with you last September, almost exactly 1 year ago today. Well, that didn't happen, did it? In fact, during the Kingdom Culture series, we hardly talked about church at all. So I guess for this reason, I kind of lied to you, right? I mean, I kind of said that we were going to go somewhere and we never actually went there, so I I guess I need to apologize to you. I need to tell you I'm sorry. But in my own defense, I didn't do it on purpose. You see, here's what happened. As I was preparing those first five messages, as I was studying about the kingdom and reading about the kingdom, man, I just discovered that there's so much good stuff in the Bible about the kingdom. I realized that the kingdom, kingdom of God, kingdom culture was a huge topic. And as I'm studying, I'm thinking, oh, I want to talk about that, and I want to talk about that. So the five messages turned into 10 messages. And 10 messages then turned into 20 messages. And eventually, it turned into 37 messages. We did a 37-part series on kingdom culture. And after 11 months of talking about the kingdom, we actually never got around to talking about the church. And friends, I got to tell you personally, I'm glad it turned out that way. You see, because the Bible talks actually a lot more about the kingdom than it does about the church. I mean, if you think about it, Jesus only mentioned the church twice in the Gospels, and we're going to look at one of those passages today. But he talked about the kingdom over 100 times. I mean, for example, in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us to pray for the coming of God's kingdom. Right? May your kingdom come. He doesn't say, you know, to pray that the church would come. His heart was for the kingdom. Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, seek first the church of God. No, the kingdom of God. You see, for Jesus, the clear priority was the kingdom. His desire was to establish the kingdom. His heart was to cause the kingdom to grow here on earth. You see, for Jesus, it really was about the kingdom. But you know, somehow, somewhere in between the first century and the 21st century, I think we've kind of gotten that priority mixed up a bit, haven't we? I mean, I guess I can't speak for all Christians and all churches of all times, but I can speak for myself. And I know for me that I've kind of taken my eyes off the kingdom. Actually, I never had my eyes on the kingdom. And for me, the focus of most of my Christian life, and especially most of my life as a pastor, my focus has been on the church. And I've never really given much thought to establishing the kingdom or growing the kingdom, but man, I think all the time about establishing the church and growing the church. Now, that wouldn't be such a bad thing if, and that's a big if the church today was an accurate reflection of the kingdom of God. But unfortunately, it's not. You see, over the last 200 years, Christians, with great intentions, I might add, so this isn't a slam on Christians, right? Christians have brought many, many practices, many customs, many habits and traditions and ways of thinking into the church that, quite honestly, do not come from the Word of God and do not come from the heart of God. And there are many things in the church today, and I'm not just talking about SABC, but really talking about just churches in general all over the world, right? There are many things in the church today which, if we're honest, really are not based on kingdom culture. Rather, they're based on human wisdom, they're based on worldly thinking, they're based on man's ideas. But because some of these things have just been a part of church culture for so long, most people, most Christians just assume this is the way church is supposed to be. Let me just give you a quick example so you can kind of get an idea of what I'm talking about. Before coming to Japan, I served as a youth leader in a church. It was kind of a small church. We would have our Sunday morning when we'd have our Sunday school for the kids. We would probably have, five, six, seven kids, junior high and high school. When we had our Friday evening group, sometimes it was just, you know, two, three, four kids. But one of our youth meetings, I wanted to take communion together. I thought that would be fun just to remember Jesus. It'd be a time to teach them about communion and the Lord's Supper. And so I wanted to take communion together. Well, when I mentioned this to the pastor, he told me that according to the tradition of that particular denomination, only an ordained pastor could serve communion. Right? As a youth leader, I couldn't just serve communion to the kids because I wasn't ordained. So if the youth group wanted to have communion at their youth meeting, we had to invite the pastor to come and lead the communion time. It was against the rules of our church for us to have communion by ourselves. Well, friends, again, I don't mean to sound critical when I say this, but friends, that way of thinking is completely non-biblical. Not unbiblical. It's not against Scripture. But it's non-biblical in the sense that nowhere in the Bible does it say that only pastors can serve communion. That is a man-made tradition. Nowhere or somewhere in the history of the church, man has brought this teaching, brought this tradition into the church, and now all over the world, churches teach this, and they practice this, and they just assume that this is the way church is supposed to work. In fact, I was ordained for this very purpose. When I first started serving as pastor here at SIBC, I wasn't ordained, so I couldn't serve communion. So every month, Pastor Croyda would have to come, and only he could serve communion here at SIBC. And so it was suggested that I become ordained so that I could serve communion at SIBC. But friends, I got to tell you, this way of thinking is not in the Bible. It's not God's idea. It's man's idea. And friends, that's just one example of how we have added things into the church that God did not intend. In fact, as the series goes along, we'll see that there are many, many, many practices, many beliefs, many traditions in the church that really have no foundation in the Word of God. There are many customs and practices that do not reflect the kingdom of God. They're simply the creation of man and our own human wisdom. And friends, for that reason, I think it was good that we spent 11 whole months talking about kingdom culture. Because it helped to establish a foundation of our standard, I guess, if you will, that we want everything we do to be a reflection, not of our own thoughts, our own thinking, or the thinking of the world around us. We want everything to flow from God's heart, God's culture, God's kingdom. And so now, having spent 11 months talking about kingdom culture and all the various characteristics and aspects and things we talked about over those 37 messages, now we want to build upon that. And as we start this new series called Rethinking Church, we're going to build upon what we learned in kingdom culture. Now, as we start this new series, Rethinking Church, I got to tell you that this whole series kind of comes out of my own personal journey, things that God has been doing in my heart, in my life over the past 3 years. And I've shared some of this with you before, but specifically, I think God's been doing two things in me. I mean, He's been doing a lot, but the two main things that I identify is this. First one, there is a growing hunger to go deeper in relationship with God. I'm no longer interested in just, you know, religious activity, kind of doing Christian-y, churchy things. I want genuine, authentic, living friendship with Jesus. That's what I'm hungry for. But there's a second thing, and that's a work of God, right? I believe in my heart. But there's a second thing that I think God is doing, and that's this. Friends, over the last 2 or 3 years, and actually it really goes back 15, 20 years when I think about it, but it's really intensified these last few years. There's a growing dissatisfaction in my heart with the way we do church. Now, when I say we, I don't just mean SABC. I mean just Christians in general, right? Churches in general around the world. But I think that God has been helping me to see or to look at the church through, well, kingdom culture glasses. And over the past 3 years, He's been opening my eyes to those things in the church that maybe don't reflect kingdom culture. And the more and more I become aware of these man-made traditions, these man-made ways of thinking, just the greater my feeling of dissatisfaction has become. In fact, recently, the dissatisfaction in my heart has been It's been turning into frustration and discouragement. And while I try to hide that sometime on Sunday morning, I think I'm not very good at doing that. And probably over the course of the last few years, maybe all of you have seen glimpses of frustration. You've seen hints of just discouragement in me and some of the things I say, some of the things that I do. Is that right? Have you guys seen that? You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand, but I'm sure most of you have. But if I can just be real honest with you here for a moment, and that's what I need to do. Sometimes as pastor, I feel like I have to put on a facade and pretend, and that's one of the things that causes me to feel frustrated, right? So if I could just be honest here for a moment. Recently, it is sometimes very hard for me to come to SIBC on Sunday mornings and do all the things that I do each week. And as this series goes on, I'll share with you a few of the reasons why I feel that way. But this morning, let me just try to give you one example, all right? This is something that I've been thinking about recently and kind of been weighing on my heart recently. You know, each week as we come here for worship service on Sunday morning, we basically do the same thing, don't we? I mean, each week it's basically the same routine, right? We start off by singing a couple of songs. Then we have announcements, and then someone gives the message, right? After that, we've been taking time to be still and quiet before God, encouraging you to just kind of connect with God. That then flows into a time of communion each Sunday. After that, we then usually, well, sometimes we'll have a prayer time, and then we close with another song. And that's kind of what we do each week, isn't it? In fact, that's kind of what most churches do each week. Now, there might be some variety between churches. They mix the order up a little bit, but that's a pretty common format for worship services. And personally, I think we do this, pretty well. I mean, considering we're a small church, considering we're a small group of people, and considering we're a bilingual church, which means everything we do is twice as hard because we have to do the songs bilingually and announcements bilingually, I mean, messages bilingually. Everything takes twice as much work. Considering we're such a small group of people, I think we do that pretty well. You know, our worship time, our time of singing, it's not so bad. Right? I think we use PowerPoint. You know, we do that, I think, pretty well. Now, I don't know what you think about the messages, but the fact that you guys keep coming every week says that there's something in our time together that's meaningful and helpful to you. And friends, for that, I am so very, very thankful. However, truth be told, sometimes the worship service seems to me a little bit like a show, a little bit like an event. Like an entertainment event, like you come to a concert or something. But it feels a little bit, now, I hope that doesn't offend you, but that's kind of how I've kind of been feeling these last 2 or 3 years. You see, I spend my entire week preparing for this Sunday morning worship service. I come to church on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. And almost everything I do is to prepare for this meeting, this 90-minute worship service. Right, I make the bulletin, I choose the songs, and I decide exactly what will happen each week. Right, I have this little list here, and it tells what songs we're going to sing, how we're going to sing them, you know, what's going to happen, who's going to do what. I plan this all out. Right, I write the message. I spend a long, long time putting together these PowerPoint slides. Right, and finally, I clean the church, get it all ready for people to come, and I'm all ready for the event to start. But I spend my whole week just preparing for this meeting, this, right? And then on Sunday morning, I arrive early to practice the message. A little while later, the worship team comes and we practice and get the songs all down so we can sound good. And then you start to arrive and you all come in and you got smiles on your faces and you grab your bulletins and you sit there in your nice, neat, straight rows. And I got to tell you, friends, from my perspective up here, you guys look an awful lot like an audience. Now, I don't mean that to this year, and you're just sitting in the way we've set the chairs up for you. But the way we've got all these chairs in rows, all looking this way toward the stage, and you sit there and you wait for 10:30 for something to happen. And then at 10:30, people come up onto the stage. And what's the stage for? A stage. Well, that's where people perform. And we stand under light so you can see the performers, and we talk and sing into microphones so that you can hear us. And it really does give the impression that, there's a show on the stage and that there's an audience watching the show. Now, I'll admit, I don't think there's one of us in the room who thinks of church as a show. I definitely don't. Right? I don't come here with that attitude. I come here each week with a desire to seek Jesus and worship Jesus. And I hope that as I play the guitar and as I do the message, I hope that it helps you to do the same. But can you see kind of from my side, can you put yourself in my shoes and kind of see how this can kind of seem like a show? My whole week is geared around preparing for an event. And then I'm on the stage and there's lights and there's microphones and you're all sitting there kind of looking at me, waiting for me to tell you something or lead you in doing something. And it just doesn't seem like the way church should be. Now, and when I say this, I don't mean to sound critical. That's not my heart, because like I say, I think what we're due here, I think, is a good thing. However, inside of me, there's this growing dissatisfaction for doing church this way. There's a growing awareness in my heart that this is not the way church is supposed to be. You see, when we look at the example of the church in the New Testament, it seems that church was more than just a 90-minute worship service once a week. It was more than just, you know, a few, 3, 4, 5 people putting on a show called a worship service, right? Well, the majority of people were just more or less an audience. You see, when the early church gathered together, they worshiped Jesus and they listened to teaching. That's true. And that's mostly what we do. We spend most of our time worshiping Jesus and listening to teaching, right? So that's good. That's good. But the early church, you know, they did more than that. When they gathered together, they also prayed together and they served together and they fellowshiped together. And it says that they ate in each other's homes, which I guess they couldn't have done then when they were at a church, right? See, these were people who didn't just see each other once a week on Sunday morning. These were people who lived in relationship with one another. They did life together. And so when they gathered together for times of worship, everyone wanted to participate in the meeting. And because they often met in people's homes, right, there was no stage, obviously, and there was no kind of audience mentality. Right? It wasn't like most people just came and sat there and waited for the 2 or 3 to kind of lead the whole thing. Right? According to Paul in the book of Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I believe, right? He says that everyone came to the worship service with a heart that was ready to serve and ready to make a contribution during the worship service. It wasn't just 3 or 4 people who put on the show, but Paul says everyone was an active participant. As a church family, they did the one another's to one another, right? They served one another and prayed for one another and built up one another, encouraged one another and taught one another and sang songs to one another. They were doing the one another's to one another. And when they gathered, right, they didn't follow a human agenda like I have here. They looked to the Holy Spirit to lead and guide their meetings. And as a result, the power of God was released in their midst. The presence of God was changing hearts and changing lives. And according to Acts chapter 2, verse 47, it says, daily, every day, daily, people were being saved and entering into a relationship with Jesus. Wow. Friends, that's the way church is supposed to be. And that's what I'm hungry for. So friends, here at SNBC, yeah, I think we're doing some things well, absolutely. But there's also a hunger in my heart for something more. And it's not so much that I'm hungry for something new. Come to think about it, I'm kind of hungry for something old. I'm hungry to go back to Scripture and to discover God's heart for the church. I'm hungry to be part of a church that's built on the purposes of God and not the traditions of man. Right? More and more, I'm hungry for us to meet God and encounter God and experience the power and the presence of God each time we gather together. More and more, I'm hungry to be a part of a community that works together and serves together that we might reflect the kingdom of God to the world around us. That's why the title of this message is Hungrier Than Ever. I'm still hungry. And you know, friends, unless you think that I'm just kind of weird and off my rocker, I got to tell you, this is not just my heart. But there is a growing movement of Christians around the world who want to do church differently. Even in Japan, there are Christians, people who are thinking this way. And these Christians, they want to set aside the ways and the traditions and the thinkings of man that have so influenced and infiltrated the church. And they want to return to a simpler, more authentic expression of church. They're not interested in putting on an event or a show or a worship service every Sunday. Rather, they want to actually be the kind of people that Jesus taught His disciples to be. They want to discover God's heart for the church. And so that's what we want to do in this new series. We want to rethink church. And we will do that by going back to Scripture. We want to look at what the Bible says. And in some cases, we want to look at what the Bible doesn't say about being the body of Christ. You see, but in order to do this, we need to set aside what we think we know about church. Now, usually I don't like to tell you what we need to do or you need to do, right? That's just, I'm not the one who controls your life like that. But if we're going to really, I think, receive something from this message series, I think we do need to set aside what we think we know about church. Because every one of us has an image in our mind of what we think church should be like. We all have an image of the ideal church, right? But for the next few months, we really want to set aside all of our assumptions about church. All of those things that we think we know about the way church ought to be. And we want to study Scripture with fresh eyes. We want to study Scripture with open hearts. As the title of our series says, we want to explore God's heart for the church. So on the one hand, I got to tell you, I'm excited about this series. I really am. I've been waiting a long, long time to share some of these thoughts and ideas with you. They've been floating around in my head and in my heart for literally for years. But more than that, I'm excited about the conversations that I hope will start taking place after the service is over. After the service is over and you begin to talk about the message and talk about the things with other people in the church family. I think it's in those conversations that all of us will begin to discover the kind of church that God wants us to be. So I'm excited about this series. I really am. However, at the same time, this series also scares me to death. As we look ahead to the series, I got to confess, I'm a little anxious. No, that's a lie. I'm actually very anxious. There is a part of me that that's afraid to begin to address some of the issues, some of the things we're going to talk about in this series. And let me just share with you why I'm a little nervous about this. First of all, I'm afraid that you will think that I am being critical of the church. I'm afraid that you're going to think that I'm complaining about SIBC or I'm judging you or being critical of you. And friends, that's so not my heart. Right? My desire is to build up the church. I spent the last 13 years of my life serving here at SIBC to build up the church. But here's the deal. Sometime, in order to build something new, we have to tear down something old. Isn't that right? And that's kind of what we're going to have to do during this series. We'll need to tear down some religious ways of thinking. We'll need to tear down some religious paradigms so that we can build according to kingdom values, kingdom thinking, kingdom culture. Right? So as we're kind of in that tearing down process, please don't think I'm trying to criticize the church. Actually, just the opposite is true. I love the church. I want to build the church. I want us as a church family to be more effective and in bringing the light of Jesus Christ to this city. So I'm afraid that you're going to think I'm being critical of the church, and that's so not the case. So can you just kind of give me a little head nod and say, yeah, we're not going to think you're... Okay, thank you. Well, secondly, I think I'm also afraid that I'm going to be misunderstood. I'm afraid that I'm not going to be able to clearly communicate the things that are on my heart. And I'm afraid of this because I've known from past experience that no matter how hard I try to explain something or say something, people always seem to hear what they want to hear, even if it's the exact opposite of what I was trying to say. Right? So even if we were in a completely English environment where everyone here was a native English speaker, I would be afraid of being misunderstood. Once you throw in the whole translation thing to the mix, and I thank you for the translators, they always give it such a... I mean, they always really give it their best effort, and I know they try really hard, but it's hard for them to translate. And where I'm trying to choose my words very clearly, you know... Are they going to really know what's in my heart, and you know, how is it going to come out in Japanese? And it makes it more difficult. It opens up the door just for more possibilities of being misunderstood. And normally maybe I wouldn't worry about that so much. But friends, in a series like this, if people misunderstand what I'm trying to say, if I say one thing and they think I'm saying the opposite, it could do more harm than good. If people misunderstand the things I'm trying to say, then this series could actually tear the church apart instead of build the church up. And clearly we don't want that to happen. And so I'll be honest, as I stand here before you today and in the weeks to come, there's going to be that fear of, you know, are you really understanding what I'm saying? And yet even in the midst of that fear, I sense that this is something that God wants me to talk about. So we're going to go for it. Third, I'll be honest, I'm a little nervous, a little anxious. Because honestly, I don't know where this series will lead us. You know, God's been doing some stuff in my heart, kind of showing me some things, that maybe the way things aren't supposed to be or shouldn't be in the church. But to be honest, I don't have a lot of answers for how they should be. You know, I have a lot of questions, but I don't have a lot of answers. You see, I grew up only knowing one way to do church, this way. You see, but there's a growing hunger in my heart for something more. There's a hunger for something different, a different way of doing church. However, I have no idea what that is. I can't even imagine it. Because I only know one way. I only know this way. Do you know what I mean? And the reason why this makes me a little nervous is because I think people often expect pastors to have answers. Right? People expect the pastor to have a vision for the church. People expect the pastor to know which way the church is supposed to go. But you know what? I don't really know any of those things. I have lots of questions, lots of ideas, but not a lot of answers. So as we begin to explore God's heart for the church, as we begin to rethink church, I have no idea where this journey will take us. And for some of you, that might be a little scary. If you put that expectation on me, that's a little scary. But really, when I think about that, it's actually kind of exciting to me. You know, it's kind of exciting. And this is what encourages me here in this. It's the words of Jesus. Right? Jesus comforts me. Jesus encourages me. Matthew 16, verse 18. Jesus mentions the church. I mentioned this earlier. Jesus only mentions the church twice in the Gospels, and this is one time. Right? But Matthew 16, 18 says this. It's also on the front of your bulletin. But Jesus says this. He says, "On this rock, I will build my church." Now, later on in the series, we're going to look at this whole passage, this whole story. We're going to get into all the details and all the good stuff that's in this verse and those surrounding it. But for today, I want to just look at these five simple words of Jesus. Jesus says, "I will build my church." In other words, Jesus builds Jesus' church, right? That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus builds Jesus' church. And friends, that's a very significant thing for Jesus to say. And what is most significant, really, is what he doesn't say. Right? Because Jesus doesn't say, he does not say that we build our church. He doesn't say that. You see, friends, SIBC is not our church. We don't just do whatever we want. In the church, it just doesn't work that way. It's not our church. Right? Jesus says he will build his church. You know what else Jesus doesn't say? Jesus doesn't say that Jesus will build our church. It doesn't say that. But sometimes we as Christians, right, we often think this way. As Christians, we often take our hopes and our dreams and our desires for the church, and we come before God in prayer, and we ask Jesus to do these things in our church. And as we do this, basically we're asking Jesus to build the church that we want to have. It's almost like, you know, we're the master and Jesus is the servant, and we're just asking Jesus to build our church. Now how ridiculous is that? It doesn't work that way. Right? Jesus does not build our church. This verse also, it does not say that we will build Jesus' church. And again, this is a very common way for Christians to think. I think in a desire to serve Jesus and be used by Jesus, many Christians think that they're doing Jesus a favor by building his church for them. And so Christians, and I think especially us pastor types, right? We have a vision for the church and a program for the church and a plan for how we're going to build Jesus' church. And it sounds like such a good thing. And some of these churches, they do grow and they get big and it seems so Christian. And yet, that's not what Jesus says. Jesus does not say that we will build his church. Friends, what does Jesus say? What does he say? Jesus says he would build his church. Friends, who has the plan? Jesus. Who has the vision for the church? Jesus. Who has the strategy for the church? Jesus. Who has the blueprints for the church? Jesus. Who builds his church? Jesus. Jesus. Only Jesus. And friends, that comforts me and that encourages me because, well, I realize it's not my responsibility to build his church. I don't have to have all the plans and all the answers and all the vision. It's not my responsibility. That's what Jesus does. Jesus will build his church. And for that reason, as followers of Jesus, our desire, our responsibility, our role is we look to Jesus, right? We follow Jesus. We want to listen to Jesus. And as we study the Bible, as we discover God's heart for the church, we want to obey Jesus. Friends, and when we do that, you know what Jesus will do? He'll teach us. He'll lead us. He will show us the kind of church that he wants to build here at SIBC. And as we look to him, Jesus will build his church. And here's the cool part. He'll do it through you and me. We're a part of the process. But it's not our church. And we're not the ones to do the building. Jesus builds his church. And friends, that's exciting to me. Even though I don't know what that is or where it is, I can't see. I have more questions than answers. That's still a bit exciting to me. Now, a little scary, but exciting as well. You see, because if we're serious about following Jesus and obeying Jesus, it's possible. It's possible that Jesus might lead us to do church in a way that, well, honestly, is very unfamiliar to many of us. I've used this example before. It's the example of a map. You know, I like to go hiking in the mountains of between Higashi Osaka and Dikoma. And especially at the beginning, I would always have maps. But occasionally, I'd be out walking and I would, you know, reach the end of my map. My map would end, but the trail would continue. And sometimes I would just keep on walking. You see, and that was kind of exciting, but it was also a little scary because the purpose of a map is a map shows you where you are and a map shows you where you're going. But when your map ends and you keep walking, you know, you don't know where you are and you don't know where you're going. Well, friends, as we desire to follow Jesus, it's possible that Jesus might ask us to walk right off our maps. Right? We all have a map of what we think church should look like. Church should be like this, and it's all planned out and organized, and we know exactly what it's supposed to look like. But Jesus might ask us to walk in a way that just causes us to walk right off that map. He might ask us to walk in a direction that's unfamiliar to many of us in our thinking and our understanding about church. I mean, even if Jesus just leads us to do some of the things we see the early church doing, that would be unfamiliar and new to many of us. Most of us, that would be just a completely different way of doing church, of being the church. And for some of us, that would be exciting. For some of us, that would be scary. For some of us, that would be both. But friends, I got to tell you, I don't know about you, but for me, I'm ready. I'm ready to follow Jesus. I'm ready to let Jesus build His church at SIBC. I'm ready to walk right off my map into the unknown if that's where Jesus leads. Why? Because I'm hungry. I'm hungry to be a part of the church that Jesus builds. So friends, in the months to come, we want to build upon the Kingdom Culture series, and we want to rethink what it means to be a church. Now let me just give you a warning. I'll close with this. Let me give you a warning. This will be a challenging series for everyone, I guarantee, myself included. We are going to rethink some very strong assumptions that many of us, all of us, have about church. During this series, we're going to rethink church leadership. We're going to rethink church structure and how churches are organized. We're going to rethink the church service, the worship service, what we do when we gather together. We're going to rethink worship and just what it means to use music to worship God. We're going to rethink evangelism. We're going to rethink prophecy and baptism and communion. We're going to rethink church finances. We're going to rethink the whole use of buildings for churches. We're going to rethink the role of teaching and preaching in the church. We're going to rethink many issues. And again, we're not looking for something new. We're going to go back to the Word of God and see what's God's heart. And through it all, we want to discover what it means to be an authentic church. More than ever, we're hungry to be a community of people who walk with Jesus and who experience the power and the presence of God in our midst. And that is the introduction to our new series. I know it wasn't a real message of sorts. It was kind of more of a testimony, I guess. But I just thought it would be good to take time to share about our new series, Rethinking Church. Well, now as we take a few moments to draw near to the Lord, let me just remind you once again, the whole purpose of this time, we want to just take time to be still and quiet before God. This is our chance just to talk to God. If there's something that maybe He's spoken to you or something that's kind of created a desire in your heart to want to talk to Him this morning, then this is your chance to do that. It's also your opportunity just to be still and listen to Jesus, listen to the Holy Spirit and what He might want to say to you. Right, also, anytime during these next three songs, if you want to receive communion that's open and available to you, just please, whenever you're ready, make your way over. Receive the bread and the juice, the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to do that by yourself, you can. You can go over with a friend or a family member or just whatever is helpful and meaningful to you. So friends, let's take a few moments now just to come before Jesus, to express our hunger to Him, express our desire to walk with Him, to love Him, and to obey Him. We can never do that enough. Let me open this time in prayer. Jesus, I thank You just for this chance to come here today to talk about church. And we look forward to the series and the things that You are going to teach us. Lord, help us to have open hearts. Help us to have open spirits, Lord, as we have a desire to know what Your heart for the church is. Lord, give us the strength to put aside our assumptions, Lord, that we might be able to hear what You have to say to us during this series. And our desire is that we would allow Jesus to build His church in our midst. That we would allow Jesus to build us up as individuals. And so that individually we might be strong and corporately we might be strong, that we would be a church that's built up, a church that is able and ready and willing to go out and make a difference in the world around us, to be a light to the people who are still living in darkness. So Jesus, we ask that even now You would begin to do the work in us, the work that You need to do in us, so that You can change us, so that You can change our hearts, so that You can renew our thinking about what it means to be Your church. We thank You. As we take this time now to draw close to You, we thank You for the promise to draw near to us.